On Sunday evenings, we've been making our way through some Psalms. And tonight we come to Psalm 24. So if you have a Bible near to you, then it'd be really helpful to open that up as we read it together. Two of our members, Christian and Robin, are going to read that Psalm, Psalm 24, for us now.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in idols or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Thanks, Christian, and thanks, Robin. I wonder what your favourite national anthem is. It might well be the anthem of your country, or it might be the anthem of another country that you longed that you had their anthem for. One of the things I've really missed over the last few weeks is the finishing off of the Six Nations Rugby Championship. I love watching rugby, and I love watching different nations fight it out on the rugby pitch. But I also love watching the emotion of the beginning of those matches, when the teams line up and they sing their national anthems. These burly chaps who've been training in the gym all week, suddenly having to sing. And they grasp their badge with their hands, and they sing loudly and usually really out of tune. But there's something great about seeing the emotion that they have of playing for their country. And as they sing their anthem usually will reveal something of the country they're from, of the people within that country. The Scottish anthem celebrates the ability that the Scots have now and again of sending the English home. There's a phrase that's used, of sending the English home to think again. If you're Irish, then you love celebrating the ability you as provinces have to come together, to unite shoulder to shoulder. If you're Welsh, then you sing of the pride and the courage of you as a people, as you seek to repel those who dare enter your land. If you're English, then you celebrate the reign of a king or a queen, whoever it is at that time, wishing him or her protection over their reign. If you're a Christian, I wonder if you have an anthem or a song. It might well be a hymn that reflects something of what you believe or the God that you trust in. Could even be one of the Psalms. Psalm 24, that psalm we're looking at tonight, in many ways acts like an anthem for God's people. Back in the days of Jesus and in the Old Testament, Psalm 24 was used in that way in the temple. It was sung on the first day of the week, and it was sung to remind God's people of the God that they followed. It reminded them of their identity. And as we hear it read and imagine it sung, we can hear snippets of things that encourage God's people. We can hear things that remind us of the gods that the people followed. First of all, that the song reminds us of the Lord as a sovereign creator. Look down in verses 1 and 2 with me. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. History is littered with people who have claimed that they are the most powerful, that they rule the world. Our recent series in Daniel took us to a king who made that claim, King Nebuchadnezzar. More recently, men like Napoleon and Hitler have entered our world, and they've made that same claim. They've tried to seize the world by force, and for a time it looked like the world was in their grip. But ultimately their rule failed. And it failed because there is really only one supreme ruler in this world, of this world, the Lord. The Lord that's mentioned in Psalm 24. The Lord is the one who founded and established this world. That's what the opening verses of this psalm remind us of. A few weeks ago, a man called Bill Gates stood back down from the board of directors of Microsoft. 45 years ago, he and a friend founded and established a computer programming company that's now worth billions of dollars. It was their ingenuity, it was their ideas, and it was their effort that brought about this company. We look at their success, how it goes from nothing to being as successful as it is, and we are amazed. Wow, we say. But their achievements, in fact, all human achievements, are put into perspective when we see verses 1 and 2. The Lord established and founded this world. Genesis 1 tells us that he did it with just a breath of his voice. The ground we walk on, the air we breathe, the bodies we inhabit, the Lord established them. Therefore the world and all who live in it belong to him. That's what verse 1 says. And that's the first verse of this anthem. The Lord is the sovereign creator. Everything is his. But the anthem goes on. Verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. See, not only is God the sovereign creator, but the Lord is also holy. The Lord that is described here as someone so different from us, isn't he? Holy, to be set apart, to be different from. Now we know that God is different from us. We know that his knowledge and wisdom is vast. In fact, all the wisdom in the world collected up over all the years would not be able to match or even get close to God's power and God's wisdom. God is different from us because he has no beginning or end. All the ages, in all the earth, in all of history, when added together, would not be able to get to how old God is. He has no beginning. He has no end. Romans 11 captures that well for us when Paul describes God in this way. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? God is different from us. And verses 3 and 4 remind us that he's different because he is holy. There is no evil in God. There is no sin in him. He has never had an impure thought. He has never done or thought anything wrong. He is holy, pure, perfect in all he says and in all he does. That means that only someone who is like God, only someone who is holy, can approach him. Verse 4, only someone with clean hands and a pure heart. In the Old Testament, there was a room in the tent called the tabernacle where God's presence dwelt. Only priests were allowed to go into that room, the holy place. At the Lord's commands, these priests had to do the following things. They had to ritually wash themselves. They had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins. They had to wear white robes of linen as a sign of their purity. And they did this because if they did not, entering into God's presence meant death for them. Picture a bone dry piece of paper being dropped near a bonfire. Think of how long that bit of paper would last when it was near the flames. Seconds before it disintegrated. The fire consumes that bit of paper. That's a picture of God's glory, God's holiness. But there's a third thing as well. God is the sovereign creator. He's holy. But he's also the King of glory. At the end of this anthem, this song, switches to a different aspect of God, of the Lord. Like any good song, it's got a bit of repetition in it, just to make sure we get the point. And as we read verses 7 to 10, a picture is meant to form in our heads. We're meant to picture a king returning triumphantly to his city from the battlefield. This is what the kings of old did after their successful campaigns. The king would send a notice, "I'm returning." And the city that he was returning to, his main city, would then get ready for his return. The city walls and the gates, literally, as the king returned, would be invited to look up at their king. A great procession would accompany the king and his army as it made its way through the streets. And people would line the streets, shouting praise, praising this king for his endeavours, for his victories. If you've ever seen the film Gladiator, there's a scene in Gladiator like that, as Caesar returns into Rome. And the streets are full of people. And they're all praising this Caesar, this king, this emperor, for his achievements. That's how Psalm 24 wants us to picture this king, this Lord. But unlike the kings of this world, this king is a king who will never be defeated in any battle. This is a king who will never have to do what Bill Gates does and step down from his throne. This king is the Lord Almighty. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a celebration of a king coming into Jerusalem. A king described like that of Psalm 24. And the gates of Jerusalem, as Jesus returns, are lifting up their gates, lifting up their doors to welcome him in. The king who comes on a donkey. People are lining the way, throwing down their cloaks, and they're waving palm branches. Hosanna! Here comes our king. But there's something different about this King Jesus than the king in Psalm 24. You see, that the king in Psalm 24 enters Jerusalem having won a victory. The king who enters Jerusalem on a donkey arrives to fight a battle. The king in Psalm 24 may expect to go and sit on his throne after having had that procession. The Lord Jesus comes not to be throned on a throne, but to be enthroned on a cross. and on that cross to be anointed with a crown of thorns. You see, if we understand this psalm correctly, then we recognize we can try and sing this anthem, but we will never be able to know this Lord for ourselves. Remember verse 4 of Psalm 24. Only those with clean hands and a pure heart can come before the Lord. We cannot claim that about ourselves, can we? Our hearts are far from pure. Our hearts just long to do what they please to do. Our hearts don't really care about listening to God, about following Him. My hands, the things I do, the things I say, reflect what's in my heart. Therefore, my heart is not pure, and my hands are not clean. And therefore, we join Isaiah when he saw a vision of the Lord, and he declared this about himself: woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I am not worthy. I am not holy. That's what Isaiah says. And that's what we say when we read Psalm 24. At the moment, we feel the pain and the loneliness of being apart, don't we? Being isolated from one another. It's not nice. The only thing that sometimes keeps us going is looking ahead to a time when that will end, when our isolation will no longer be needed, when we'll be able to gather together like we have done before. But that's not going to happen with our problem of sin. God will always be holy. He will not change. Our hearts will always have the stain of sin upon them. And therefore there's a separation that can never be overcome. We're a bit like magnets. When you force the two poles of two magnets together, north and north or south and south, together they repel each other. That's what happens when the holy God and we try and interact. We cannot. Our sin prevents that. God's holiness is too great for us. We face the prospect of never being able to draw near like David describes in this psalm. But the message of Easter is that we have a King who's come to change that. The Lord Jesus, the only man in history to have clean hands and a pure heart. He rides into Jerusalem for us. Our sin is laid upon him. It's the most uneven exchange in the history of the world. We receive Christ's perfection. He receives our sin. Through this process, through Jesus, we know the blessing, therefore, of verse 5 of Psalm 24. We are no longer guilty. The Lord Jesus has vindicated us, set us free, clean. In Psalm 24, David looked ahead to that Saviour, looked ahead to that time when the Lord would be able to draw near in fullness. The Old Testament sacrifices that David trusted in pointed to that, pointed to the cross. David knew the blessing and the vindication of trusting in those promises that would come true. And we look back at that event in the same way, at that time when the Lord Jesus took our sin. He cleansed our hearts. For those who trust in him, that's true. And the invitation we have as we enter Easter week is to do what verses 7 to 10 encourage us to do with our hearts. Now read them again and put your heart in the picture of this. Lift up your heads, you gates, you hearts. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. That's describing what our hearts need to do with the Lord Jesus. Why? So that the King of Glory may enter in. You see the invitation in those verses? You see the call that we have that's made upon us? Let him enter in. Have you allowed that? Has the Lord Jesus entered your heart? Is he your King? If he is, then you can sing Psalm 24 as your anthem. An anthem celebrating the sovereign Creator. An anthem celebrating the Lord's holiness. An anthem telling the wonders of a King who lays down his life for you. If he's not your King, then can I invite you to consider the claims made in Psalm 24? Easter is a great time to consider the lengths this King has gone to make you his own. Easter is a great time to turn to the Lord Jesus in prayer, to ask him to forgive you for the sins that make you unclean. The Lord Jesus makes the offer to take them from you and to give you a clean heart so that you may draw near with God, become one of his family. If you've not done that, can I encourage you to think about that even tonight? I'm going to pray as we end our time. So let's pray. Let's commit these things that we've looked at to the Lord in prayer. Let's give him thanks for those truths that we've been able to remind ourselves of. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this psalm, this anthem for us who trust in you. We thank you for the things it reminds us of you. We thank you that we see in it clearly how this world is yours. You founded it and established it from nothing. Everything that we have, all the air that we breathe, all the things that we enjoy are from you. You're the God who is holy, who is perfect in everything he does. And you're also the Lord who is King. And today we thank you for that reminder of the Lord Jesus on Palm Sunday, of his entry into Jerusalem, of the thing that he came to do in taking up our sins, in taking up the things that will block us from you, and laying them and taking them upon himself. We thank you that is true, that has happened, that we can rest knowing that our sins have been dealt with. Please help us to rejoice in that this week. If we're not a Christian yet, if we at the moment cannot say that you are a King, please help us to understand the need we have to accept you as our King. Please help us to open up our hearts that you may come in. We do thank you for this time, and we do pray that you would help us to take these things into this week and treasure them. In your name, amen. But as we go into this Easter week, let's finish our time by reading those verses in Psalm 24, that reminder of God's holiness. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they, you and me, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God our Saviour. Amen.